First of all, stock market update. Up 2% for a grand total of, on the day, 257 points, blah, blah, blah. This is quite expected. But it is the biggest jump ever. But it still hasn't recovered the 3% that it dropped. So, the stock market's doing its thing. And I'm getting tired of going over stock market things over and over again, because every time I say something, it happens. And I'm sick and tired of it. Can you blame me? What's that snicker for?
Well, it's a dissertation. That's a rhetorical question, right?
No, it's not a rhetorical question this time.
Oh, okay.
Are we sick and tired of me repeating basically the same predictions over and over again?
I don't know. I've only put them once in the webpage.
Well, once is enough. Okay. Now, dissertation. Let me see. Well, growth, I think, is a good topic to start on. Growth and understanding in development and consciousness. And from my standpoint of view. No, I won't let a cat in that's making those words. So, where was I? Oh, yes. Growth. And development and being. Constantly learning is something that is very important. If you stop learning, then you stop progressing and advancing. The necessary struggle involved in the growth is the important thing, that by struggling, you grow. And in growing, you want to grow more. So it is necessary to have the correct kind of watering to... And we're getting sworn at. And the correct kind of stimuli is important to continue the growth in whatever avenue is necessary for the individual to choose. In doing so, they have to set themselves goals and objectives that they are consciously aware of. And by being consciously aware of these goals, you can head to the objectives, which in turn are nearer to the subconscious goals on where you want to go and what lessons you feel necessary to learn. For example, let's see, working with computers, as that seems to be the topic and flavor of the week. By learning new computer systems and trying to figure out problems, stimulates the mind in such a way that it becomes active and craves the necessary desire for the work to be done. As you well know, Russ, constantly learning new things is very important. And by doing so, you achieve a state of constant growth, which is what you want. Unlike a stock market, which goes through cycles of growth and retraction. Growth and retraction. And I deliberately repeat that as an example, that it goes through a cyclical motion, whereas by growing and learning, you do not go through the cyclical motion, because learning one thing leads to questing and knowledge of the next thing, which in turn makes you want to go to the next thing and the next thing. And it constantly keeps your mind active and being regenerated in a sort of way that gives it the necessary impetus and oomph to continue on your learning quest. And you do not need to go over the same lessons over and over and over again. Certainly, there are some lessons that need to be repeated and hammered home. But once they have been learned, you progress on. And by progressing on, you move to the next objective that you set yourself. Any questions?
Yeah, just being born is basically starting off a cycle of growth, correct?
Correct. But some people, they get to a point in their lives where they no longer are interested in growth. They're interested in only doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, for example, as with the stock market, doesn't that represent some people?
Yes, it is a secular thing that they don't learn from.
Well, let's say they grow and then they fall back, and then grow and fall back, grow and fall back.
That's not growing. If you listen to what you said, it is not growing. They grow and fall back, and then they grow again. How can you grow again if you haven't learned the lessons?
Well, because you learn the lessons, you go into a higher level.
No. It does. The stock market does not work that way. The stock market is a circular system. You cannot compare it to people because it is not a person thing. It is driven by numbers and desires and bad planning. It is not something that you can compare to people. Okay. Next question.
Now, with each life that mm-hmm. you go on to, mm-hmm. you start your next cycle of life.
Correct.
Now, is there a point where you come full circle?
Not that I'm aware of. Because if you go full cycle, you're back to the point where you have learned nothing and you need to relearn those lessons. So therefore, it is not growth. It becomes circular at that point.
Okay, well...
I know where you're trying to head.
From Atlantis?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, it's different. You see, what happened, right, is that you learned all the lessons that were necessary to learn at that point.
Right.
You set into motion karmic debts that needed to be sorted out. And deeds that were done were driven by the necessary lessons that had been learned and saying in the waiting period, this is what I'm trying to understand myself, in the waiting period, you decide what you need to learn best from all those possibilities that you have created and to deal and address each one at a time so that you can advance to the next level having learned those lessons. And if you don't learn them, you have to repeat them. So therefore, the stimuli is not there to advance, you see. Having learned the lessons and getting it right, you go on to the next set of lessons. So it's not constantly falling back. You've learned your lessons from that class, so you move on to the next logical level.
The question I have, though, is why is it in those lessons that we had to learn at that point, mm-hmm. we're trying to relearn them now, i.e., say with psychic skills that we had and knew of quite well mm-hmm. in Atlantis, and now we're trying to relearn those same skills again and bring them back up to that point we were where we lost them from?
No. I don't see it that way at all.
Healing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my healing skills were much greater at that point than they are now.
Yes, but they were also very corrupted. So they needed to be pruned so that you could not go charging off and become a great geneticist in this life and create a race of mutants. You see, you're not learning how to heal. You're learning how to deal with those moral issues. Is it right to tamper with genes to create a race of, for want of a better word, slaves, which is what you did last time?
Right.
So, are you learning new lessons, or are you learning how to be like you once were?
I'm trying to learn from that point.
That's right.
What about telepathy?
Telepathy? You have telepathy.
Not to the level I had it then.
But you do not need it.
Well, sometimes you think you do.
You don't really. Because you don't need those lessons. And the next time I get called a nasty name like that, I am going to go screaming after that cat.
Okay, I see what your point is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going on to, these are Because it's just, for some reason, it's tough to picture those lessons we learned in Atlantis as lesser lessons than what we're learning now.
No, not lesser, different.
Different, okay.
Different.
So, in other words, Amal said, those were parts of the keys to the doors mm-hmm. to the next evolutionary step.
Correct.
And those keys opened up some locks.
Mm-hmm.
That we are now attempting to get the keys to unlock the rest of the locks.
Correct. Let's look at it a different way.
Okay.
You have these great skills in Atlantis.
Right.
You're very adept at using them.
Right.
But wouldn't it be better to learn how to handle being without them?
Mm-hmm.
You have them. You've had them for a long time. But what about learning to survive without them?
Okay.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a whole load of new and different lessons that you need to learn. You get to a point where that you have learned to live without them, and you can remember at times what it was like to live with them. So when it comes time for that next logical evolutionary step, as Amal calls it, you know both how to live with and without them.
Let's see.
I use my astral travel as part of my work. Kiri's telling me that she very seldom uses her coercion.
As part of her work?
As part of anything. The only time that she uses a coercion is when somebody is not behaving as they should. And she's limited on time to deal with the problem in a different way.
So in essence, she learned one thing on how to use without it.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's learned how to use with it, and she's balancing the two together. But now what about you, who... You never started off on sixth dimension. You started off on third dimension.
That's why I prefaced it by saying I'm trying to understand it as well.
Ah. Right, because you being here is, I can't call it an accident because it's not. You're obviously here.
I was probably ready, but not ready. It was one of those things, heads or tails. Am I ready or am I not ready? And I call heads and it landed on its tail.
Okay. So.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I should imagine I could have gone either way.
Okay. Understandable. Mm-hmm. So you're getting your lessons from a different source than you would have on Durandan.
Correct.
Okay. And I'm getting my sources from a different place than Sirius.
Correct. So we all have our paths and lessons to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay, any more questions?
Yeah, we can do the news tonight. I'll need to write it down, actually, and transcribe it right on the paper.
I've been way too busy to do any news.
Okay.
Just put down, I've been too busy with what's going on in the market, political situations. I could go on for hours about that, and I don't want to tonight.
Okay.
I could go on about economic setups, exchange rates.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Not exciting.
Yeah. Terribly, terribly dry and boring unless you happen to be into that sort of thing, which I really am not. Well, not tonight anyway.
Greetings and felicitations, Ross.
Greetings, Omar.
I hardly think so.
Oh.
Due to the fact that my esteemed colleague is not going to be present tonight, due to the fact of meetings, I will be acting in the capacity as the censor.
Well, thank you, Corotan. This is quite an honor.
You are welcome. First of all, let us address last week. The person acting in Amol's stead at the time did a okay job, lacking the judgment of higher consciousness The individual did as best as she could. Miss Tenuvial and her boisterousness. That is acceptable as she is a guest. Okay, let me give a dissertation on the evolution of communication from simple grunts and groans to the eloquence that we have achieved and you have achieved at this point with precise underlines on certain areas. Now, primitive communication serves the same function as does verbal and mental communication. It is just done in different ways. When you look at communications that were scraped and painted on walls in the past, they are the same as words, crammed into a much more different form. To understand the consciousness in the development from paintings on walls done by spraying from the mouth and from hands to communication in pictures with vocal words spoken. The development of language is not only vocal, it involves more possible stimuli than you could conceive. For example, hands, facial, eyes, body, looks. When I say looks, I'm not meaning looking in a particular way with facial features. In the way that an individual looks at something is what I am referring to. The necessary eloquence that is developed now, also developed in the most primitive forms of communication, the consciousness in the mind and the growth and the ability to communicate has not changed that much in many thousands of years. To understand the importance of communication is the objective of communicating itself. If you do not communicate well or use words and meanings that are generally not understood and not understandable or mispronounced, then the point of communication becomes irrelevant because misunderstanding and all the problems that creates will occur. So communication breaks down. But if you cannot be understood due to different linguistic abilities or pronunciations or languages, you can still be understood by the most simple and basic method of communication for somebody that is unable to communicate on a vocal level. That would be pictures. Any questions?
Yes. Two questions to start with here. Painting, as you mentioned, on walls in a primitive form has kind of also gotten to a point now where we see as in graffiti.
Correct.
Expressions as far as pictures being the simplest way of communicating.
Correct.
Which brings me to the next question, which is last week Kiri discussed the split up of Atlantis to the four from the four points to the different parts of the world they went to.
Correct.
I'd like to work a little bit on the evolution of the speech patterns that came along from that split.
Okay. Let us address, first of all, the people from what you would call the southwest area. Atlantis was broken not only up into races, but up into linguistic areas. They spoke a common language, but each race had its own language. A good example is Sirius. Miss Tenuvial, when she speaks, has a different accent than the Tanaka goes. When they talk amongst themselves, they will speak in their particular dialect and area that they're from. For all intents and purposes, they speak a different language. Miss Tenuvial and her sister speak in a lowland dialect and in a lowland language. The Tanaka ladies speak in a highland dialect and language when they are private. But when they are communicating with the Tenuvials, they speak in the common Syrian language. So that there is an ethnic pride that is maintained. The ethnic pride is there for a reason, as it was on Atlantis. If you take the individuals in the low-lying southwestern areas, they were into fishing and farming. So they had naturally a different language because the sea and the land was important. For the people in the northeastern part of Atlantis, living in the highlands in the rugged area, the language of the animals and under the ground was important. So they had more of an interest in the animals and internally within the mountains and hills. The people in the central area where the capital was located had their own legal language, which even today continues. If you have a group of lawyers and barristers and judges and lawmakers together, for all intents and purposes, they do speak a different language. Do you understand what a bailor is?
A bailor.
Bailor.
A bailor. No.
It is somebody that acts in a capacity, for example, to evict somebody.
No.
Let us take a simple phrase. If a bailor, due to his action, lets a individual lapse into detinue, but this occurs before detinue was detinue, then the bailor is negligent in his actions. But that means nothing if you do not know what a bailor is or what detinue is.
I see.
So, the different languages on the continent or the island of Atlantis were there for a particular function. It is easier for those individuals to communicate quicker and faster vocally in their native language or their native dialect between themselves, but they have a common language which they would all speak on the island as they do on Sirius. It creates racial pride in their language, which strengthens the race and therefore drives the individuals harder to do better than the other races and individuals because their language is better than the other languages. Which it is not, but it is still pride to believe that your languages are better than somebody else's. For example, on your planet, people that speak a language well and precisely and are understood by a majority are thought of more highly than an individual that uses slang and jargon that is understood by a few.
Understandable. What about the hieroglyphics then that you see from Egypt?
They are pictures.
Mm-hmm. We're going back to
they tell a story. So they represent ideas.
I see. So is this a preservation for the future of a history without actually having to go to the Syrian language or something similar to that?
No.
That would get passed on?
No. The only reason that the Egyptian language was broken and being able to understand was because of one stone.
The Rosetta Stone.
Correct. It had all three languages on there. If it did not have a language that was still read and understood, then all the other two languages would have meant nothing. They would still be pretty pictures, people assuming that certain images represented certain things. It gives a basic understanding on what goes on.
I see. Similar then to the Mayan codices.
Correct. Let us go back to the most simple form of communication, the drawings on a cake.
Okay.
You have a scene. You have stick figures chasing an animal throwing what appears to be spears. But what if that's not actually the case? What if the people are throwing offerings at the creature? Or the objects are coming from the creature. You see, you have to think of the possible other options.
Well, for example, from the northeastern quarter of Atlantis, we see instead of the hieroglyphs of Egypt, we're seeing actual stone constructions that actually tell more in their way they were built than could huge encyclopedias.
Again, it is a matter of culture. A culture that lives from the land and under the land does not have much time to be able to have a well-written writing system, a well-thought-out system. So they have to do their writing in large stones.
Oh, I see. Then the last one that we have left then is in the northwestern quarter, which leaves, I believe that be the Americas.
Correct.
And we don't find much in the way of things left over except possibly in mounds and different things throughout the southwest.
Again, it is a matter of environment. Understanding, it is all right.
Okay.
Don't forget, I do have a feline myself.
Oh, that's right.
It is a matter of what is environmentally... My feline does not sweep on my chest, but it is a matter of what is environmentally suited.
Ah.
For example, buildings with high roofs would culturally be unsuitable in that kind of environment.
Okay. So we also see the Mayans and the, if you look farther south, the Incas, with a higher level of education, let's say. Knowledge of calendars, knowledge of the stars, knowledge of hieroglyphics, knowledge of pyramids, as you do in Egypt, where the same latitude, you see the same similar constructions. Then in the northern part of England, Scandinavia, Germany, Scotland, you see the same kind of constructions that you'd see in North America. Why would that be?
Obvious. As they flee, you have groups from the highlands or the north part of the island getting pushed to Europe and the continent of the Americas.
Oh, of course.
And then the southern part, you would have the people that are from the lowlands and the judicial systems and government systems being pushed to the southeast and southwest.
Mm. And because the southwest was more farming, you wouldn't see the sophistication you saw in Egypt and Greece.
In a way, yes. It is a little bit more complicated, and we do not have the time really to go into detail on these matters. You must remember, I am a communicator.
Correct. And you have helped me a lot in the communication aspects of this split up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Corton.
Now, let us address the ringmistress's brief dissertation.
Okay.
There is nothing that I can see that would cause harm at this time. She words herself very carefully. You may wish to edit her comments about the feline's foul language.
Right.
No, keep that in and put that as in footnotes with my section.
All right, communication.
Correct.
And then in your section, should I edit the part about the Tenuvial and Tanaka clans?
If you wish, that is your choice.
I'll put the car about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I will be back. I have to do what Amal does. Okay. Censoring.
Thank you.
Frank, I just like how he fades out. As he fades out, he points to the chair. Means he's still around. Okay. The Tenuvial family.
Clan.
Okay. I suppose I better put somebody on from the Tanaka clan. Yeah. What about the Tal clan? But there's only one person from that clan, anyway. Right. Clan or a man. You got a little worried there when you was concerned about the feline, weren't you?
Well, I know how it disrupts the energy patterns.
You're talking to an eighth-dimensional being and worried about energy patterns?
Yeah, that's to bother some people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Naka, you're on next. Hello.
Hello, my love.
We do have our positioning on how we come on. It is as a rule here first, then our censor, and then always myself. And then it will be a guest speaker. And if we have another guest speaker, it will be that speaker. And then last of all, my sister.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Always the same setup.
Well, it's a nice way to do it. Kind of like,
yes,
by a course.
Mm-hmm. With the light, sugary individual last. Light, sugary, and syrupy. Okay. Now, where have we got to?
Well, we've got quite a bit to work on here.
Okay, let's answer your questions then.
Okay. Let's see. First off, with the speech patterns of, as we're talking about with Corton, between the two different sectors, does that mean that when Huna is speaking in their private language, you can't understand what they're saying?
There are some words that I can catch and other words that I can't. And when they talk fast, it is hard for me to understand them. And Kiri also nods.
Okay.
But also there is a courtesy thing. that if there is a person that speaks another language, let us say I am president and Huna and Leah are talking, they will speak in the common language of Sirius.
Right.
Even if it is private, intimate conversation, because that is rude not to. I do not know if they are saying something derogatory about me or cracking some joke that I should be aware of and find amusing. So it is something that is considered very rude to speak in your own language if there is a person around that does not speak your language.
Okay. All right. Now, what is your opinion on setting us up in the web pages of Tanuvial and Tanaka Clan?
I know your thoughts. And we will think about it.
Okay.
But we're not opposing clans. We're just...
Understandable. It's an interesting way of describing the heritage of Sirius, where, you know, we see Earth history in many different forms. But until you get down right to the family roots of it, you don't really see the history.
No.
Just like the Hatfields and McCoys. All right, we've got work done on the... We'll get the work done on the page as far as figuring out the graphics to the tape. And we'll add this in also. So with that, of course, we're going to add in the part, the memorial, I guess, to Princess Diana.
Yes.
Okay, you want to run that now?
I'm going to do that between the two of us.
Oh, you and Kiri?
Well,
me and you?
Well, and Kiri.
Okay.
Kiri will also put in her 2 cents where I'd be in contact with her when we do it.
All right, fair enough. Now then, as far as the healing aspects go, could you describe a little bit about that in relationship to how it, the general something going on with Atlantis, how it split up? The Egyptians obviously had the major parts of it.
No, they didn't actually.
Really?
It was spread equally. And again, it was an environmental thing. Horton is quite correct in discussing the environment. It does play a big role in the medicine. For example, certain healing herbs for mining injuries would be culturally unsuitable in a farming community or a seafaring community, as would the seafaring community using or having their medicine used in a mining community. Look at it this way. What is the point in having that's not a good example, actually. I was going to talk about broken bones. Okay, let us talk about poultices. Now, in a farming community, it is not very often to get crushed bones. So you would not use hard splints. You get cuts and gashes and clean breaks, as opposed to crushes that would need putting back together and applying splints. In a farming community, you would use the various herbs that are best for making poultices to deal with cuts and gashes, inkling, breaks, and all that entails. Whereas in a mining community, where a crushed hand or finger or foot or leg is more common, and with crushing, there isn't so many cuts and breaks of the skin and the muscle tissue. That all happens internally. So you would use a different kind of medicine. You see?
Mm-hmm. Now, after the breakup of Atlantis, you'd be dealing with a lot of trauma.
Of course.
Not only in injuries, but just mental and emotional trauma. Mm-hmm. But these aren't things you can use a poultice or a splint or mm-hmm. something for.
Well, it goes back to what we discussed a few weeks ago about dealing with problems. Mm-hmm. You see, when you sit down and communicate, you address the problem by talking and talking about how somebody feels about their problems and why they feel in a particular way will actually do more good than sitting down and prescribing pharmaceuticals for their moods. Mm-hmm. Certainly, there are times where pharmaceuticals are very necessary when an individual has a chemical imbalance. But where it is psychological, all the medication in the world just masks the real problem. Mm. So by sitting down and talking and doing it in such a way that is cleverly worded so that the individual's mental harm is repaired is the important thing.
Interesting. This almost takes us back to the shamans of all four parts of the globe at that point.
Well, it does dovetail with what we were discussing last week about changing the frequencies and bringing the frequencies up.
Right. Because basically, yeah, whoever's doing the work, be it a shaman or healer or whatever, there's going to be a lot of words spoken, a lot of ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see, a lot of incense or smells,
mm-hmm.
changing the person's environment mentally and physically.
And their conscious state.
And their conscious state, correct. Would do a lot in the way of trauma and things like that.
Correct. You see, rituals serve a very useful purpose. Remember how much of a ritual we used to make out of caring spirits?
Absolutely.
It was unbelievably ritualized. Bowl of water, clean cloth, putting Kerry through an experience, making her laugh, making her cry, making her serious. It was changing her conscious level, bringing it up to a level where it was easy for me to come down to her level.
Mm-hmm.
So by increasing her conscious level, and me adjusting my level to her level, the healing could take place. It is important as a healer to be able to change and fluctuate one's healing levels so that communication and the healing take place.
Doesn't this also then go along with empathy?
Empathy is very important.
As you come to each other's level, the level of empathy then is able to match more closely that person, whether their vibrations are different from yours.
That goes without saying.
Yes, we need to say that.
Yes. But it is something that is very self-evident,
right,
if you are aware of what is necessary. But the rituals are very important. They do much more than bringing an individual up to or down to a particular level. They put you through an experience, a common experience that is shared by all the people participating. If you take, for example, the healing of Kerry, again, she's going to love being on the internet. The experiences that we put her through, and I went through, and you went through, made it a shared thing. Even at the end, when she was getting ready to leave, the jokes, the humour, the mask, the rubber gloves, they were reminding her of a shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in a cold, sterile environment, It is intimidating for an individual to go through a healer. For a while on your planet, I've noticed that a clean, sterile, and I don't mean clean, sterile, I mean sterile as...
antiseptic.
Correct, yes. I'll say, can you help me here with the word? What I mean is somewhere that is cold.
Yeah, very professional as far as attitude goes.
Well, the environment.
Yeah, very antiseptic.
Yeah, so that will work. That has an effect of intimidating. If you go to hospitals that are built more recently, you will find that they are still a little cold. No carpeting on the floor, which is wise if you have a lot of blood spills. But you go into the doctor's offices where they have discussions with the patients, you'll find pictures and all the necessary gear.